Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. I want to move kind of quickly here and get this in. This is probably of all the message I've preached, thousands of them over the years, and no message I have has touched my heart and been as much to me as what I'm going to preach to you tonight and to our church over the years. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, if you find your place there and you're physically able, let's stand together. I'm going to read this passage and we'll go right on tonight and trust that God will certainly speak to our hearts. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for what we've heard tonight, what we have seen with our eyes. Thank you for a church that's involved in church planting. We realize that's the very heartbeat of God and the heartbeat of the local church. And I thank you for what is already being done here. And thank you for this missions conference and all that will take place. Thank you for the time that we had this morning, the wonderful people that are here. I pray now that you would take this message, Lord, that you would help me to express it as I've done so many times in so many years, and I pray that you will use it in a special way to give us a greater heartbeat for reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Lord says in Matthew 16, 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church. I believe that from the period that Jesus began his public ministry until the time of his ascension, he has done something. He established the local church. He instructed the local church. And he commissioned the local church. And I believe that from the time of his ascension until the time of his return, God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given the church, the local New Testament church, he has given us and entrusted the church with something he has not given to any individual, given to any organization, or given to any group. I believe without a doubt, and I believe this all of my Christian life, it's made a difference in my life, made a difference in the church I've pastored, the churches that we've started, all around the world, that the mission, and listen to me very carefully, the mission of the church is missions. Now, here's what I believe missions is. Missions is the planting of New Testament Bible-believing churches around the world. Here in the United States of America and around the whole world, that is what God gave the local New Testament church. The mission of the church is missions. This morning we were talking about having a vision, a proper view or a proper revelation of what the Bible says here that ought to be a part of our lives. If there's ever any revelation, any proper view, anything that I need to understand, it is what point two said in that message, a vision or a proper view of my service to the local church. Now think with me for a moment. If God established the church, if God instructed the church, if God commissioned the church as a child of God, that's what I want to be involved in, that which God is involved in. And he said, so I need a vision. I need a proper view of what the Bible, the Word of God says about this living organism, not an organization, a living organism called the local church. So for a few moments tonight, I want to talk about what God has given to church. What is the mission of the New Heights Baptist Church? Why do we exist? Why do we build buildings? Why do we grow a congregation? Why do we give money? Why do we do it? I'll tell you why. The church has a mission. And I want you to listen to this. I've preached this at Bible colleges. I've preached at churches. And it's amazing to me how many churches, how many colleges, how many groups of people fail to understand what is the purpose of the church. What is the mission of the church? Why we exist? And I want you to listen very carefully here. I'll go fast. I know we have a time limit, but I want us to understand what God gave His New Testament church. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ here speaking, I believe, to His church. And notice, if you would, that the first thing that God gave the church before Jesus ascended back into heaven, He gave the church, listen to me, the plan for evangelizing the world. We don't need a new plan. We don't need to figure out what to do. God Himself has given the church the plan for evangelizing the world. In Matthew 28, notice what it says in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them. I believe that He is speaking in corporate sense to the local New Testament church. He's saying, I'm about to ascend back to my Father. He's died, He's been buried, He's been raised from the dead. He's walked 40 days on the earth. He's about to go back to heaven. He says, church, I'm giving you a plan. Here's what I want you to do. I'm giving you a plan as my local church that I want you to practice. And here we understand, He says, all authority is given unto me. This plan is authentic. In other words, I don't need to find another one. I have an authentic plan that's given to the church by the Lord Himself. That plan has three things. First of all, when Jesus was speaking to the church, He gave the church what the Bible calls a mandate. A mandate is something I don't have an option to do. I don't have to pray about whether I should do it. Jesus Christ gave the church a mandate. And in that mandate, I want you to notice here, first of all, it is given to the church. It is given by Christ. It is given as a command. So when I started pastoring, the first thing when I read Matthew chapter 28, I say, as a pastor who stands behind the pulpit, God has mandated my church, though I'm meeting in a banquet room in a hotel or a storefront or a meeting in an office building or later on building a building. We have been mandated as a church by Christ as a command. Therefore, I realize and try to convey to our people, we have no choice when it comes to missions. We have been mandated by God Himself to do what He's commanded the church to do. So the church has been given a mandate. Now, in that mandate, in this plan, which includes a mandate, He gave the church a ministry. Notice what the ministry of the New Heights Baptist Church is, that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl ought to be involved in. Verse number 19. Here's what He mandated the church to do. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So here's what He mandated. This is Christ talking to the church, giving a command. He says, I'm mandating you as a church to carry out a ministry. Now, here's the ministry. You're involved in that. When you go soul winning, when you pray, when you witness to people, when you come to church, you're involved in a ministry. That ministry is fourfold. First of all, He says, go ye therefore and teach. So the ministry of the New Heights Baptist Church is to be involved in evangelizing. If you believe that, say amen. You ought to walk out of those doors, go on your job, go to your family, go to the bus ministry, go around this area, every person saved by the grace of God, has been mandated to try to win somebody to Jesus Christ. This is a part of the mandated ministry of the local New Testament church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So the first part of the ministry is to win souls, teach them, or evangelize. Then he says, baptizing them. I believe without a doubt, everybody I win to Christ, my responsibility is to do everything that I can to get them baptized into the local assembly, the local New Testament church. So we're witnessing, passing out tracts as a part of the ministry. Every person saved ought to be involved in the ministry. So the ministry is to evangelize. Then secondly, it is to baptize. Then he says, teach them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So if I'm understanding this, the plan of God mandates the church, given by Christ as a command, to get every person who's a member of the local church to be involved in evangelizing. That's why you ought to go soul winning. That's why you ought to go on visitation. That's why you ought to pass out tracts. That's why you ought to witness, because we're carrying out a mandated ministry of evangelizing. Then after we get them evangelized, we win sinners. Then we ought to baptize them in the saints. How many believe that every person who's saved the commandment of the Bible, they ought to be scripturally baptized? We ought to be involved in that. Then after they're baptized, we ought to catechize or teach them. In other words, what am I teaching them? There's a whole world out there, and if the church has been mandated to carry out the plan, I need to get as many people as I can find involved in the ministry of someday being called out of the local church to go evangelize the world. So the ministry is evangelize, baptize them, catechize or teach them, and then mobilize them in the work of God to reach the world. So when I come to my local church, I'm to bring a heart in. I'm to try to win somebody to Jesus. I'm to get them baptized. I'm to teach them that the Holy Ghost of God can reach down and mobilize them to go reach somebody else. So that's what's been mandated in the plan by Jesus Christ to the church as a command. Every person here ought to be involved in the ministry of the local church that's mandated by Jesus Christ. Now listen to me very carefully. That's the mandate, the ministry, evangelize, baptize, catechize, mobilize. All of us in Albuquerque ought to be involved in that. If you believe that, say amen. But that's not the mission of the church. The mission of the church, if you look at the Great Commission that was mandated by Jesus Christ, is to take the ministry of the church, evangelize, baptize, catechize, mobilize to every person and every place. If all we ever did was evangelize Albuquerque and baptize Albuquerque and teach Albuquerque and try to get people to go into Albuquerque, we would not be carrying out the mission of the church. The mission of the church, according to Acts 1:8, Mark 16:15, what I just read, John chapter 20, we're to be doing this in every place to every person. That's why a missions conference is important. That's why we need to understand. God didn't give the Great Commission to the college or to a group of people. He gave it to church. Every local New Testament church has a responsibility of reaching Cambodia, reaching Albuquerque, reaching the next state, reaching around the world. We've been mandated by an almighty God that knew what he was doing. So I've got to understand. That's why missions is so important in the local church. And it's so many people think, well, if I win all of these people to Christ, we have a great soul winning program and fill up the building and build more buildings. We're doing a great job, and it is a great job, but we're not doing the mission of the church. The mission is to do that around the world. That's why people who may never be called to the mission field, may never go outside of Albuquerque, can be involved in the mission by giving and winning so that God can put people in here that he can call out. And every time you have a missionary to come to your local church, that missionary is helping you carry out what God has mandated to you as a local church. When I got a hold of that, we wanted every man in our church. We were praying God would call him to preach. We wanted everybody involved. Because we've got this big world, that this little old church meeting in a banquet room, that's meeting in a storefront, that's trying to build a building, has been mandated by God to reach the whole world. We know that's almost impossible to do, but the one we say, Thou art God, commissioned the church to take its ministry as a mission to every person and every place. That's what we're involved in. That's what it means to be a mission-hearted church. We've got to get rid of being selfish and say, God, if you can't use me to go, then God, help me to win somebody else that you can call. Help me to give that somebody else can go. But we can't sleep until we realize there's a world out there that every local church has to reach. So God gave the church, first of all, the plan. That plan, without a doubt, is authentic. You can't improve upon it. All right, now very quickly, that took longer. I've got three more points to get to, so we've got to go faster in the next 17 minutes, okay? All right, so that's the plan. That's the plan. The second thing he gave the church, now listen to me. We're talking about God. God gave the church this plan, and by the way, it's a great plan, and God knew what he was doing. The plan hadn't failed. God hadn't failed. We failed. It's an authentic plan. But I want you to see what else he gave the church to go along with the plan. He says in that verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then notice this, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. He gave the church an authentic plan that was mandated to take its ministry as a mission to every person and every place. And here's what it says. Along with that plan, I make you a promise. God's making the church a promise. And here's what he says. The promise is twofold. First of all, church, if you're doing it, lo, I am with you. You have my direct presence while you're doing it. The presence of God is with the church that's trying to take its ministry as a mission to every person in every place, and though it seems impossible, we serve a big God. So he says, if you do it, church, you have my direct presence. And then he says, unto the end of the age, and that is the end of the age, he's talking about that from the time he gave it until he comes back, it never changes. Do you realize that when God gave this to those 11 disciples that made up his church, he looked all the way to October 23rd, 2016, and says, you have the same responsibility. Makes no difference who's in the White House. Makes no difference what the economy is. He says, you've got a promise from God. So he says, church, I've given you an authentic plan, but along with that plan, you have an assured promise. You've got my presence. Christian, when you go knock on the door trying to get involved in this plan, God says, you've got my presence. When the circumstances change, God says, you have my divine providence. I will be with my church that's carrying out my plan. My plan is authentic, but he says, my promise is assured. Thirdly, he goes on. He says, for the church that is carrying out his plan, his authentic plan, that is assured my promise. Turn over quickly to Acts chapter 1. We see the Great Commission given here in Acts 1:8. Notice what else he says to the church. The Great Commission is given four times, fifth time here. But when you read and you put it all together, you'll see there's an authentic plan that has an assured promise. But then he says, thirdly, to the church that's carrying out the plan, that's authentic, you are assured of my promise. But he says, you can only accomplish this by my power. Acts 1:8. But ye, speaking to the church, shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is to come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He's saying, You've got my authentic plan. It seems like a big, impossible thing. Along with it is my assured promises, my direct presence, my divine providence. But he says, you cannot accomplish this outside of my power. He says, but ye shall receive power. Remember when the Lord spoke to the church after 40 days, he told them to tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. They waited 10 days there in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit came down, immersed the church in the power of God. And let me tell you something. It took the power of God for them to reach the known world at that time. And it takes the power of God upon the church and upon Christian people to reach the world today. Yes, it's good to have money. Yes, it's good to have education. Yes, it's good to have people. But what the church needs today more than anything else, we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We need men, women, boys, and girls to be cleansed of sin, emptied of self, filled with the Spirit of God, that we can reach a world that's lost without Jesus Christ. His power is our source, our strength, our success. We just need to be a responsible people. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon us. He has immersed the church, and we still have that responsibility. Then he says, make sure you practice the right philosophy. I'm glad to hear that you're involved in church planting. Look at the philosophy the church ought to be involved in. He says, and ye shall be witness unto me. You ought to underline that little word, both. Both, he says. And then he says, in Jerusalem, across the street, in all of Judea, in another state, and in Samaria, that represents the difficulty. And then he says, unto the uttermost part of the earth, around the world. So the power of God wants us to go across the street to another state, among the difficult and around the world, and he wants it all to be going on at the same time. As much as we want to say there's no difference in church planting in America and church planting in Cambodia, God sees the world. And by the way, it pays to get involved with church planting, because you plant the right kind of church, you're going to have more people giving to missions, and more people for God to reach down and call into the ministry. The Great Commission, the mission of the church, has an authentic plan. It's given by God, assured promise that will not fail, accomplished by his power. And the fourth thing is where God has the most problem. It's only advanced by the provisions of God's people. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll finish up with this. Philippians chapter 4, great passage about a missionary endeavor by a great evangelist missionary. The church has been given God's plan. It's authentic. The church has been given God's promise. It's assured. The church has been given God's power. It's the only way we can accomplish this mission. And the church has been given God's provisions through God's people. Philippians chapter 4, follow me in verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye communicated and shared with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you said once, unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And here's verse number 19. A lot of people claim this verse. A lot of people need to put a piece of tape over it so that they can't really see it, because it doesn't apply to them. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Paul was a missionary, church planner. He writes back to the church of Philippi, and he's talking about his church planning endeavor. And he says to these churches, he says, you supported me financially. He said in verse number 16, you sent faithfully. You sent on a regular basis. You sent once and again to undermine necessities. You realize that I was carrying out God's plan to plant churches, to be involved. He said, I want to remind you in verse number 18 what God thought of your sacrificial gift to church planting. that I was involved in. He said in verse number 18, "But I am full and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Notice he said, "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He says, Church of Philippi, it might have been hard, difficult, and sacrificial to you. But when you gave for me as a church planner to plant those churches, every time you gave something, it was a sweet odor to God, well-pleasing to God. Oh, it might have cost you something. You may have had to do without something, but you did it because you had a heart for what I was involved in. You had a concern of the responsibility of the church. And he says, here's what I want to promise you. My God, Church of Philippi, my God, church that's involved in church planning and missions around the world, my God, the Christian who sacrifices and gives to help reach the world, my God shall supply all your need. That doesn't apply to everybody. That doesn't apply to someone who's never come to a point in his or her life where they're involved in that which is dear to the heart of God, that is the mission of the church. Now, there's many things in the Bible that are not conditional, okay? For instance, there are things that I can ask God. John 3:16 is not conditional. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I don't care who you are, God will save your soul. But when it comes to Philippians 4:19, God says that to a church, to Christian people in the church who are giving to help plant churches around the world, which is the mission of the local church. That's why it's important, as a member of a local church, you get involved. God's not going to call everybody out of this local church to go to the mission field. Hope and pray that it would call some to go, because missionaries are called out of local New Testament churches. That's where we get them from. We don't go around recruiting missionaries. They're called out of local New Testament churches, that churches have a heartbeat. God wouldn't tell the church to go do something that he wouldn't give us the resources to do. Now, if that were me, being a pastor for 35 years, I wouldn't count on necessarily getting the job done by counting on the money I was going to get from people. Am I the one? Yeah, you know. Now, in here in Albuquerque, this beautiful city, we don't have any people that are selfish and stingy and hold on. You are all the most giving. I mean, your mission budget is running over because we got all sacrificial love. But back in Virginia, where I come from, we got some people that, you know, they can get stingy and they can get selfish and they can get stubborn and on and on and on. And but God says, and I've seen it demonstrate, I've seen God do miracles. I've seen God turn hearts. I've seen God build buildings. I've seen God do things in families. When we understand that the mission of the church is missions, and I'm to do my part, I'm to come in there, and I'm to be available if God calls me, I'm to be involved in praying, I'm to be involved in witnessing, and yes, I'm to be involved in giving. And if it cost me something to give, to help reach the world, and from a human standpoint, I think I don't have the resources to get something else I want in life, like build a building, or all the things that churches need to do, my God has promised, if I keep his business first, he will take care of my business. And I've seen that happen where God has used churches all over this world who come to a point in their life where they realize that the mission of the church has been, always will be, missions. Now, we've planted in our local church about 27, 29, I've kind of lost count, of different churches, and most of them have been men who have grown up in our church, been called out of our church. We're involved in a host of other local church planting ministries. We support the same one, Brother Abram, and another church in L.A., and we support churches all around who've done that. But the church responsibility is to reproduce its own. You may never do, God, this church may never plant 29 churches, but the heartbeat ought to, God, give me one. Give me one. And it may be the best family you have in your church. God may call that family out to go and plant a church some other place in this country of the world. And if he does, you know what I've always told the Lord when I had a good family like the Andersons leaving? I smile, and not I hate for them to go because I miss the fellowship and all, but I look up into God and say, God, you got to give me a good one to replace them. I don't think God takes away a good one and give you a bad one, do you? And he's done that over the years. We've had over 125 families that have gone out of from our churches, some of the best families you could find any place around this country and the world that are working in local New Testament churches. I'm not counting the ones that have left for other reasons. I'm talking about ones who've left because they had a heartbeat for the things of God. And we've only had 1 year, 2008, where we've had less income that year than the previous year in 35 years. That's the God who keeps his promise. The mission of the church is missions. It's mandated by God. We have a plan that's mandated to take our ministry, winning souls, baptizing the saints, teaching them to serve as a mission to every person, every place. And God says, you are sure to promise. I'll accomplish it by my power, but I can only advance it by my people. My people have to get a heartbeat and a burden to get involved in that which I got involved when I sent my son to die and shed his blood for the sins of the world. Wouldn't you be willing to give your time, your talent, and your treasure to be used by me to reach a world? And all to look up and say, yes, thou art God. The mission of the church is missions. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you are a great God. And I know that many times we have disappointed you. You've never disappointed us. And you don't look at churches by size. You look at churches that could be smaller, churches that are large of any size, churches of different makeups of people. But every church ought to have a heart for that which you have a heart for. The mission of the church is missions. Thank you for what this church is doing. And I pray that you'd help every man, every woman, every boy and girl to get involved in the ministry here. And then help every person to help take that ministry as a mission to every person, every place. That means more missionaries, more giving, more things happening for the glory of God. You bless now, this time. In Christ's name we pray.